Are we now seeing significant pushback from the public in relation to so-called wokeness or extreme political correctness? Is a pattern emerging here?
Well, firstly, I think it's remarkable that we spend a lot of our time talking about companies discriminating against workers because of their beliefs or insisting that their employees declare their gender pronouns. But nobody's really looked at whether ordinary people support this stuff. And when we went out and we surveyed a nationally representative survey of voters, large majorities of them said, actually, I don't think companies should be demanding that their workers use pronouns. I don't think they should be discriminating against people because of their political beliefs. I don't think they should be monitoring what their workers are doing on social media outside of working hours. And so you put all of this together. And once again, you know, once again, what we find is that this very radical belief system that's becoming increasingly visible in our institutions isn't actually really supported by a large majority of people.
Indeed, we've seen the Halifax and their policy of asking employees on a voluntary basis to have pronouns on their name badges. We've had Ben and Jerry's, who sell ice cream, being critical of the government's borders policy and the Rwanda plan. Why have companies become so political, Matthew?
Well, they would say it's because they are, you know, they're virtuous, they're morally righteous, they are sort of aligning themselves with, you know, the new mood of the moment. When we ask ordinary people, your viewers out there, only 10% of them say they think companies are doing this for sincere reasons. A lot of people out there, I think, are looking at the adverts they're seeing on television. I think they're looking at the posters they're seeing on the tube. I think they're looking at what they're seeing in their workplace. And to be frank, I think they're quite skeptical, if not cynical. You know, there's a hypocrisy with this. And let's be clear about this because it's important. When a major retailer who will go unnamed demands on Twitter that everybody celebrates, say, Black History Month, and if they don't, they're not welcome to shop at that retailer. But at the same time, that company is stripping rights away for workers, or their CEO is involved in a tax avoidance scheme to pay as little tax as possible. That hypocrisy is not lost on people. And I think that's really what rubs a lot of voters up the wrong way. They feel that they're being lectured to. They feel that they're being told that they're morally inferior. And at the same time, the companies are clearly doing everything they can to avoid contributing to the national community. And I think a lot of voters, as the polling shows, are pretty fed up with that.
Really looking forward to your book. Given that Nicola Sturgeon's political career has arguably ended because of her attachment to a particularly woke issue, gender ideology, which blindly accepts the premise that a man is a woman or vice versa, will growing public irritation at political correctness be a factor at the next election, do you think? I believe it's been decisive in Scotland already. Will we see that at the next UK-wide general election?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You and I have been talking about this for some time, and it wasn't that long ago everybody on Twitter and in London and Westminster would tell you that, well, culture war politics is dead-end politics, you know, that these issues won't really change anything. Well, look at Scotland. The message from Scotland is that if you aggressively pursue a policy which is only supported by 20% of Scots, the MSP that you just had on was clearly not reading the research on where public opinion is. And if these policies that are only supported by a small minority are just imposed on people, then guess what? There's going to be a political backlash to that. So as I said, in the aftermath of Nicola Sturgeon's downfall, and as I write about in the book, I think a lot of Labour MPs, a lot of folks on the left are going to be looking at these debates and thinking, actually, if we keep pushing this as hard as we are, there is potentially going to be a pretty strong backlash from voters who are fed up of being lectured to about these ideas and these issues. And I suspect Keir Starmer's probably watched the Nicola Sturgeon episode quite closely and will probably, if he's wise, be thinking, I should start rowing back actually on some of this.
Yes, I mean, that image of him taking the knee, I think we can all agree we can condemn racism, the most evil stain on humanity, Matthew. But that photo of him taking the knee could be politically divisive for him, perhaps in some of those red wall seats, just because it's seen as political opportunism, virtue signalling, woke finger wagging?
Well, I think the mood is changing. I think a lot of voters, as we can see in the polling, actually, are becoming more aware of what this woke issue is. I think a lot of voters and your viewers out there are now, I think, increasingly aware that this isn't just about being nice to people, that there is a pretty concerted political project that is aligned to this, that when you're asking a worker to show their pronouns, what you're asking them, and let's be clear about this, is to align themselves with gender identity theory. You're asking them to align themselves with a very specific belief system, which many people would argue is not really grounded in science and is an ideology, right? And I think a lot of voters are looking at this and now thinking, I'm not actually down with, allowing kids to legally change their gender without any medical advice. I'm not really comfortable with renaming pregnant women, pregnant persons. I'm not really comfortable with decolonizing all of our university reading lists. And I'm not comfortable with revising how we think about our national history so that we're always told about the bad and we're never told about the good. And I think that rebellion that we are beginning to see, and there are little signs of it. You know, take the bestseller list this week in the book section of the papers. One of the top bestsellers, Nigel Biggar's book on colonialism, in which he offers a counter view to the woke view. He says, you know, British history got a lot of things wrong, but it got a lot of things right. And let's talk about some of those things it got right. And I sense in the culture, actually, that there is the beginning of this pushback, a big ecosystem of organizations, networks, media channels like GB News, Substacks, Twitter, YouTube shows. I think that ecosystem is beginning to build, and I think we're beginning maybe to get that diversity of view, not to use a pun, but that diversity of viewpoint that I think is really, really important in pushing down an ideology that is really only supported, Mark, by about 15 to 20% of the country. And that's the crucial point.
Fair enough. Well, listen, let me tell you, you can pre-order Matthew's new book, Values, Voice and Virtue, The New British Politics. It's out now, but you can order it straight away. I'll be reading it very shortly.